Okay.
Eden holds up a freshly manicured hand, silencing me.
Please stop.
When I do, the room fills with the faint sounds of my unsteady breathing. Another minute passes before she speaks again.
I know you, okay? I've known you for almost 7 years.
She blinks as if those words surprise her.
I know you would never do anything even remotely.
The turmoil in my stomach stutters to a halt. Thank you.
No, I'm not done. I do believe in you. But if you make me regret this decision, I will kill you with my bare hands. Do you understand?
I know Eden as well as she knows me. The woman isn't bluffing.
I understand.
Good. I've been wondering if the team should go through sexual harassment training again this season. This shit show settles it.
Now I'm confused. Why? You just said you believe me.
Alex.
Eden sighs, closing her eyes as she pinches the bridge of her nose.
Whether you realize it or not, the team looks up to you, especially the younger guys. I don't want this one instance of a woman lying getting the bigger issue twisted in their heads. This is not the norm. The vast majority of sexual harassment and assault reports are true.
I nod, a new understanding dawning on me. Now that the suit is a complete media circus, covered by tabloids no less, people with the wrong idea could use my lawsuit as an example, hell, as ammunition, to shut down real victims in the future. I make a mental note to emphasize sensitivity toward the broader issue during my next call with Hugh. Our conversation is far from over, but I feel like I can breathe easier now. Eden believes me. Maybe Aspen will too. As if my very thoughts summoned her, Aspen walks through the door. It's been a month since I've seen her in person, a month since I felt that familiar swell in my heart at the sight of her. God damn. In this case, reality is so much better than memories. She's beautiful.
Hi, sorry I'm late, my car.
Aspen suddenly snaps her mouth shut, seeing me sitting across from Eden.
Oh, hi, Alex.
Hey, I can't help but stare at her. The summer tan that once gave Aspen a smattering of freckles across her nose and cheeks has faded. It's strange seeing her in a button-up and pencil skirt instead of her usual oversized t-shirt and yoga pants. Her lips are painted that same muted rosy color she wore that night to the brewery. That night that felt a lot like a date. It's too painful to let myself think about, so I push it from my head. What's up with your car? I hear myself ask.
Oh.
She scoffs, a nervous energy about her.
It wouldn't start.
Do you need...
One of my neighbors helped me jump it.
Neighbor. Right. She has her own place now, but I have no idea where. I have no idea if it's in a safe neighborhood or if she has everything she needs. And with the way our brief time together ended, I may never know. I nod once and turn my attention back to Eden. She's glowering at us like we've just made out in front of her. I wouldn't be surprised if she suspects something. And though I'm not ashamed of anything I did with Aspen, I'm a little concerned by the glare Eden is leveling at us right now.
Have you seen the tabloids today, Aspen?
Fuck. Aspen sighs with a tired smile.
Oh, God, what is it now?
She doesn't know yet. I shoot Eden a pleading look. Eden,
our boy Alex here is being sued on sexual harassment allegations.
If I ever had a kind thought about this woman, it's long gone.
Damn it, Eden.
I shake my head in disbelief. Eden just shrugs and turns back to her computer.
What?
Paler than I've ever seen her, Aspen locks her wide eyes on me. It's not what you think. Eden clears her throat loudly, interrupting me.
Alex, would you mind giving us a moment? We have to, you know, clean up your mess.
I take a steadying breath before standing. I breeze past Aspen, desperate to put some space between us as quickly as possible. She was going to find out one way or another, but I wish it didn't happen like this.
Chapter 25. Aspen. Before entering the rink, I take a bracing breath, focusing on the stands instead of the burly bodies racing across the ice. I usually love watching the guys play, thriving in their element, but lately it's the last place that I want to be. It may have something to do with all the complicated feelings I have for their starting center. Les, the front office manager, waves to me from the sidelines, silver strands in his hair catching the light from the overhead lights.
Aspen, you have my files?
Yep. Eden says to reference the budget while you read, which is down at the bottom here. I open the application and pass the tablet off to Les, who mutters to himself while navigating the folder to view its contents. He struggles a little with technology, so I usually have to stay close in case he has questions. Sometimes I feel like I'm his assistant, too. But I don't mind helping him, especially since Eden's ideal working pace is contingent on our tech literacy. Once I feel like Les has a handle on what he's looking at, I lean against the rail to give him some space. Out of habit, my gaze wanders to the ice and I immediately regret it. A dozen other guys are on the ice warming up, but my gaze locks onto Alex instantly. He's running drills, his long and lean body equal parts grace and strength. I groan inwardly as I notice the familiar flutter in my chest. Gauging my heart rate and my inability to tear my gaze away, this is the opposite of what I need right now. Passing the rookie, Alex flashes him an arrogant grin, and all the breath in my lungs seems to evaporate. The echo of his laugh carries across the ice and draws me deep into a memory. Back at the cabin some months ago, Alex and I were lying naked on the floor in front of the fire with nothing but a shared fleece blanket between us. I remember him playing with a strand of my hair, tickling my shoulder with it. "Stop it," I giggled, burying my face against his chest.
"Should I?"
Even though I couldn't see his expression, I could hear the smirk in his voice, that cocky growl reserved for quiet skin-to-skin moments. "Yes," I said with a chuckle, "but keep holding me, okay?"
"Always,"
he whispered, wrapping his solid arms tighter around me, our bodies so warm and comfortable that I forgot for a moment that we were once two separate people. Now, with yards of cold air between us, it's never been clearer how separate we really are.
"I'm all done,"
Les says, appearing at my side.
"Thanks for your help. These contraptions are going to be the death of me, I swear."
I smile, taking the tablet. "I'll upload it all to the cloud so you can have access to it whenever you want, okay?"
"I've never thought of clouds as particularly accessible, but..."
He grins at me with a twinkle in his eye, and I chuckle, giving him a nod before I turn back toward the exit.
"Hey, Aspen, hold up."
Alex's voice cuts through the scrape of skates against the ice. I think about pretending not to hear him and hurrying toward the door to make a swift escape. But I don't want the team to notice that anything's off. So instead, I stop in the shadowy alcove and wait until Alex joins me. His cheeks are flushed with exertion, his blue eyes bright. He brushes sweat-soaked hair from his forehead. "Hey," I manage to say, hugging the tablet close to my chest.
"Thanks for stopping by. It's good to see you."
"Yeah, of course. Do you need something?"
No, actually,"
he grunts out.
"I was wondering if you need anything. You know, for the new place, is there anything I could help you with?"
A rogue smile pulls at the corner of my mouth, but I quickly hide it by tucking a strand of hair behind my ear. "I've got a good setup. Thanks, though."
"Of course. You know you can call me if you need anything, right? Like, when your car broke down, I would have been happy to... Aspen, can you look at me?"
I reluctantly meet his gaze, despite the fact that I know I'm a goner under those blue eyes. As expected, they do their work on me, shining slivers of light through the cracks in the invisible wall between us. "Sorry," I say, my voice colder than I mean it to be, "but I've got it covered."
"Are you upset with me?"
he asks, his brow furrowed. "No, I'm not upset with you." I didn't realize the words were true until I said them. If I'm not upset, then what exactly am I feeling? "Love," a voice in my head whispers knowingly. "Love, even though you know he doesn't feel the same way." Love, even though he didn't think to share something as big as the lawsuit with you, even when you were sharing the same bed. Love, even though it hurts you. Why can't love ever be simple in my life? Why does it always come with complications and caveats? Why all the pain? I squeeze my eyes closed, searching for the right way to phrase this. It's more that I'm confused, Alex. Why didn't you tell me about the lawsuit? I mean, it began back when we were... I cut myself off, choosing my next words carefully. When we were in Canada. I just don't understand why you kept it a secret from me. It takes him a moment to respond. While I wait, I let myself admire the features I've spent weeks trying to forget. That mess of brown hair, those heavy eyebrows guarding vulnerable eyes, the sharp line of his jaw and the soft curve of his lips, which finally opened to speak.
Yeah,
Alex sighs, running a hand down his face.
About that. I'm sorry for not telling you. I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I was just trying not to ruin our time together.
How would the truth have ruined our time together? A muscle twitches in his jaw, and he shakes his head in frustration.
I don't know if you've noticed, Aspen, but in general, people don't really like me, or even know me at all. But you took the chance to get to know me, and I guess I didn't want you to think of me any differently.
But you see why that's confusing to me, right? You didn't give me the same chance that I gave you. You didn't give me the chance to be there for you. All I'm saying is that you should have told me before you told Eden. Holy hell, I just sounded crazy jealous. Alex's eyes flash at his ex's name, trained on mine before they soften, drifting to my lips. I've seen that face. This man desperately wants to kiss me.
You're right.
You say that I know you, but I'm not sure anymore.
You do, Aspen. You know me. Maybe better than anyone else.
Alex is so close to me now, our shadows bleed together into the darkness of the corner we're hiding in. His expression is open and vulnerable. How many other people have seen this side of him? His teammates, definitely not. Eden? Probably just glimpses. Maybe I do know him best. God, we're so close. If we were to kiss, no one would know. It would be our little secret. Just like our summer arrangement. And look where that got us. I don't want to be his dirty little secret. I can't do that anymore. I try to take a step back from him, but my feet won't budge. So I retreat with my words. You should have told me about the lawsuit. Not just as your friend, but as your colleague. I trip up on the word friend, the bluntness of it feeling like a lie. You don't sleep with friends. I don't, at least. Not anymore.
I know. I'm sorry. I fucked up.
He says sincerely, and I believe him. Thanks for apologizing, I murmur, my hand twitching at my side. I want to reach out and touch him. I want that intimacy we had back in Canada.
Thanks for letting me. Hell, thanks for believing me.
As if he had the very same thought, Alex reaches for my hand and laces our fingers together. His palm is rough and warm, instantly thawing my chilled skin. I melt into a puddle at the overwhelming sense of belonging that I feel at his touch. This can't happen, Aspen. With the pending lawsuit and Eden's repeated warnings, all signs point toward disaster. I can't risk the fallout. If I learned anything from dating Dale, it was to trust a red flag when I see it. Yeah, well, Eden believes you, so why shouldn't I? A complicated expression comes over his face when, speak of the devil, my phone rings. I wrench my hand free from his and pull my phone out of my back pocket, lifting it to my ear. Hey, Eden. Hey, sorry to make you run around like a crazy person, but I just thought of another errand you could knock out for me. Can you head back up to the office when you're done with Les? Sure, I'll be right there, I say, then tuck the phone back in my pocket. Alex gives me a solemn look. I'd better go, I tell him. With one last look of longing, I turn on my heel and head for the staff elevator. I think that short exchange was meant to be the conversation where we clear the air between us for good, but I've never felt foggy. And though I have a sneaking suspicion that Alex is still standing there watching me walk away, I keep my eyes locked on what's ahead of me. Keep moving, Aspen. Just keep moving forward.
Chapter 26. Alex. We've won our first 6 games of the season, and tonight the entire team is ready to celebrate. Saint is hosting a party at his place, just a low-key get-together for the team and their significant others. I finish getting ready and grab the bottle of expensive champagne I've had chilling in the fridge, because I have another thing to celebrate tonight, too. The sexual harassment lawsuit I was stressing over finally got dropped today. My name has been almost completely vindicated in the press, too, now that the truth is out. Hallelujah. I also found a new agent after firing Kyle the douche.
Thanks for coming,
Saint says, greeting me at the front door when I arrive 20 minutes later. Thanks for hosting. I hand him the bottle of champagne and he nods.
Come on in. Food and drinks are in the kitchen. Help yourself. PlayStation tournament in the basement and cigars out on the deck.
Okay, cool. Thanks, man. Saint's been there for me these past few weeks, ever since I admitted to him the depth of my feelings for Aspen and got that awful tattoo. I definitely want to check out this PlayStation tournament, but first I need something to drink, so I head to the kitchen. Tate and Reeves are seated at the island, munching on appetizers. Hey, I say, tipping my chin in their direction before scoping out the beer situation. The yellow label on one bottle sends a jolt down my spine. It's the same brand Aspen and I enjoyed last summer at that brewery in Ottawa. I grab a Budweiser instead and twist off the top.
Dude, you've got to try one of these, Tate says to me, holding out a paper plate.
What is it?
I take a step closer. Heaven in your mouth. That's what it is.
I grab one of the appetizers from the plate. It appears to be bacon and puff pastry. And when I chew, I catch a hint of fig, too. It would have paired wonderfully with that grapefruit IPA. Instead, I choke down another swig of Bud.
Thanks, I mutter.
Tate and Reeves carry the conversation, and aside from some well-timed grunts and the occasional nod, I'm barely hanging on. I didn't expect to see Aspen tonight, but she arrived a few minutes ago, tagging along with Eden and Holt. Ducking her chin to avoid meeting my eyes, she shuffled past the kitchen where I've planted myself near the food, because the rookie was right. These bacon fig things are amazing. But one look at Aspen, and I've forgotten how to breathe, much less chew. At least she showed up single. I wouldn't have handled it very well if she'd walked in on some other guy's arm. Even though I'm trying to participate in whatever topic it is that Tate and Reeves have moved on to, I'm distracted. I can overhear Aspen telling a story to Eden, and I'm dying to know what has her so animated. I steal a look every few seconds over to where she's standing by the couch. I wanted to reevaluate every life choice I'd ever made, Aspen says with a wave of her hand. Seriously, it was one of those moments where I wanted to just leave quietly, hanging my head. Eden chuckles, and shame burns hotly through me. Could she be talking about our summer together? God, I hope not. But what if she is? What if she doesn't have any of the fond memories I do about our time in Canada? The idea of that cuts deep. But the only way to know is to talk to her. First, I'm going to need something stronger to drink. Fortified by a few sips of expensive whiskey, I've talked myself into going to say hello. But since Aspen's no longer in the living room, I go off in search of her. First, I check downstairs. A few of the guys are lounging on sectional sofas, playing video games on Saint's giant flat screen. And Eden is down here too, talking to Lucien and his wife Camille. But no Aspen. Next, I decide to check outside on the back deck. It takes my eyes a moment to adjust to the darkness. Even with the soft landscape lighting and nearly full moon, it's pretty dark out here. Holt and Saint are sitting in cushy club chairs, finishing cigars, and Aspen is leaning against the railing of the deck. My heart gives a painful lurch. She looks beautiful. Her long hair is loose and wavy, and while she's dressed casually in a pair of jeans and a fleece sweater, she still takes my breath away. Aspen, I say, nodding once in her direction. Hi, Alex, she says, her tone even and reserved.
What's up, buddy? Sane asks. You come out to have a cigar?
No, I shake my head. Just wanted some air. He nods. Aspen looks contemplatively out at the backyard, not acknowledging my presence. It's quiet for a moment, and the air around us is seasoned by the pungent aroma of tobacco.
Hey, have I ever shown you the painting I bought at auction? Saint says, looking at Holt.
Holt gives him a confused look.
No?
Saint stands and gestures for him to follow.
Oh, it's sweet. Come see.
They head inside, leaving Aspen and me alone.
So, I say awkwardly, turning to face her.
Aspen gives me a weak smile.
So?
It's the first time we've been alone together in so long. My hands itch to reach out and touch her, to hug her warm body to mine so I can press my lips to her hair.
How have you been?
I say instead.
Fine, you?
I nod. Good?
That's good.
Fuck, this is so awkward.
The season's been going well,
Aspen says.
Have you been watching the games?
I'm not sure why, but the idea that maybe she's been watching me play is a nice thought.
Some of them,
she says, quickly meeting my eyes before looking away again. I inhale and straighten my shoulders.
Listen, I never wanted things to be strained between us. Can we just...
Just what?
She asks.
Be friends.
The words are literally painful, leaving my mouth. It's the last thing I want.
Of course,
she says. She doesn't look nearly as affected as I feel. Her posture is relaxed and her tone is even. Meanwhile, I feel like I'm drowning, unable to get enough oxygen into my lungs.
So you came to the party alone?
I ask. It's a leading question, and Aspen knows this.
So did you,
she says.
Although I figured you would have moved on by now.
Her words slice through me. That may have been my reputation before, jumping from one woman to the next, but it's not who I am anymore.
Well, I say slowly, some things you just don't get over.
When Aspen's eyes lift to mine, understanding flashes through them.
And another thing, the reason I didn't tell you about the lawsuit,
I say, my voice tight.
I was afraid of letting you down.
Alex, you wouldn't have...
Not letting her finish that sentence, I take a step closer and lift her chin before fusing my mouth to hers. Emotion flares inside me, but I can do nothing but stand here, tasting her mouth as her fists curl into the front of my shirt.
I missed you. I missed us,
I murmur between kisses.
I can't,
she chokes out. And then she's gone, turning and heading inside before I can even process what just happened. Standing at my ex's front door the next morning, I glare at her.
What the hell did you tell Aspen about me?
Eden's expression is wary.
Good morning to you too.
Seeing how quickly Aspen shut me down last night when I admitted I missed her had me thinking there must be more to this story, which is why I've driven over to my ex's house this morning in search of answers, and I'm not leaving here until I get them.
I'm serious, Eden. I need to know.
She swallows hard.
You'd better come in and sit down.
Coffee?
Holt asks, appearing from the kitchen.
Sure,
I say. Once he's poured three mugs of coffee, he joins us in the living room. They settle onto the sofa together while I take a chair across from them.
Well?
I ask impatiently. Eden takes in a deep breath and then lets it out slowly.
You know, Aspen worked with me back when you and I were ending things, and I may not have always painted an accurate picture of you. I was hurt, and I didn't hide my feelings from my assistant.
Resisting the urge to roll my eyes, I take a sip of coffee instead. Giving me a curious look, Eden asks,
Did she say something, or...
I rake a hand through my hair and sigh.
Not really. She's barely speaking to me right now. And she seems to have a bunch of shit in her head about why we'd never work.
You like her,
Eden says softly. I don't hesitate. Very much. Holt watches us silently as Eden's mouth twitches with a smile.
It's probably my fault, she says. I'll talk to her, okay?
I shrug. This whole conversation is just weird. Talking to my ex in front of her fiancé and telling her I like her assistant. It's like a soap opera.
Would that help?
Eden leans forward, meeting my eyes. And I can tell she really does want to help. It's something, at least. I don't know. I admit, it couldn't hurt. Holt takes her hand and gives it a gentle squeeze as a look of understanding passes between them. There's a lot of history between Eden and me, but none of the loving fondness that these two share. It's obvious they're perfect for each other, and the more I'm around them, the more I believe it. I could never have given Eden everything she wanted, just like I know she couldn't give me everything I needed. How did you know that Holt was your forever? Eden smiles, crossing one leg over the other.
We were eating popcorn at the movies. He looked at me and smiled, and I knew I didn't want to eat popcorn with anyone else ever again.
Damn. She laughs, her eyes twinkling.
Yeah, I know.
Holt squeezes her hand, and they share a sweet look. I take another sip of coffee. Maybe it's long overdue for us to be having this conversation. Or maybe we just weren't ready until now. I'm not sure, but I know it has to happen for the sake of our working relationship, as well as any possible friendship we might have in the future. I know why you and I never worked. You needed a project, someone to save. And I didn't need saving, Eden. She offers me a sad smile.
No, I guess you didn't.
I just needed someone to be there to cheer me on. I also needed someone who didn't need anything from me, who could just be, and that girl wasn't Eden. She was constantly striving for more, always daydreaming of her next big idea, the next project. I guess she gets that with Holt. The guy seems like he could use someone in his corner. It's another reason why I know that Aspen is perfect for me. She doesn't have the constant need for speed that Eden does. Chill in Canada all summer on a whim, she was down. Jump into a freezing cold lake, why not? God, I miss Aspen. I miss talking to her, cooking for her, holding her, making love to her. I miss the person I was when I was with her.
I'm going to talk to her, okay?
Eden says, interrupting my thoughts. Okay, I say with a nod.
Maybe it'll help.
Maybe. Even if it is a big maybe, I have some hope for the first time in a long time, and hope is a very good thing. I have no idea how, but I'm going to show Aspen how good we could be together. But first, I'm going to call Saint, because a man needs a plan.
Chapter 27. Aspen. When I first learned that our annual charity gala would be held in a historic hotel downtown, I was excited to attend because it would give me the chance to get dressed up and sip champagne. But once I realized the chances of seeing Alex here were statistically high, I wasn't sure I should come. Now that I'm here, though, I'm determined to make the best of it. The cold fall air retreats as soon as I step inside the ballroom, which is filled with beautifully dressed people in evening gowns and tuxedos. I'm wearing a rose-colored number that I rented from a bridal shop down the street from my apartment. The long sleeves are made of sheer lace, the bodice accentuating my breasts with a delicate pearl outline. The lengthy skirts trail behind me slightly, so I hike them up with one hand, revealing the 4-inch nude heels that I'm already regretting. This is incredible, I murmur, reaching out to touch Eden's arm. She turns to me and smiles, absolutely stunning in her Vogue-worthy black velvet gown and matching gloves. Honestly, not as impressive as last year. She sighs, plucking a flute of champagne from a passing caterer's tray and bringing it to her red lips for a generous swig.
I see less,
Holt says from behind us, towering over our heads. He's wearing a black tuxedo with velvet lapels, matching Eden. I follow his gaze to a small gathering of familiar faces. That's when I see him, and my heart gives a painful little leap. Even though he's got his back turned to us, I immediately recognize the familiar line of Alex Braun's broad back through his fitted suit jacket. It hugs his shoulders possessively, and though I can barely catch glimpses of him through the moving crowd, I know he looks absolutely dashing. My stomach turns itself into an intricate knot. I can't face him tonight. My feelings for him are too big, too overwhelming. I don't know how long I've been standing dumbstruck in the entrance until I realize Eden and Holt have abandoned me to join the gathering.
Aspen!
A man's voice calls out from behind me. I turn to see Reeves, one of the defensemen and the captain of the Titans, dressed in a navy blue suit, the top few buttons of his white shirt purposely unbuttoned. He clearly saw the dress code as a loose guideline and ran with it. Fashionably late, I see, I tease.
Always. So what do you think of your first gala?
He looks around, his blue eyes twinkling. I feel out of place, I say with a sheepish grin. He scoffs, stepping back to give me a thorough once-over with an appraising look.
You fit right in.
He nods approvingly with a humorous glint in his eye. I laugh, releasing some of the tension in my chest. Thank you. Most of the crew is over there. I trail off, spotting another familiar face over Reeves' shoulder. Logan Tate, the rookie defenseman, is on the phone as he paces along the perimeter of the ballroom, frowning at the floor. Reeves turns to follow my gaze.
Oh, shit,
he says with a sigh, shaking his head mournfully. What's wrong? I ask. I'm pretty clueless when it comes to drama on the team.
His girlfriend, you know the one from his hometown? I heard they just broke up. That's probably her, begging him to take her back.
Oh, no, I frown, squinting across the large room to see if I can read his expression, but it's no use. I silently wish him luck handling whatever mess he's found himself in. Welcome to the Heartbreak Club, rookie.
This is exactly why I say relationships are overrated.
I roll my eyes at Reeves. How would you know? You've never been in one. He chuckles.
Weird. You sound just like my mother.
I spot Alex again, moving closer this time, and my head spins. I'm not ready to see him. Before I can think of a better course of action, I make a break for it. I have to find the restroom, I call over my shoulder. From the look on Reeve's face, he knows that I'm avoiding someone or something. I weave through the crowd of rich socialites, doing my best not to step on anyone's skirt or Louboutin. When I see a sign marked restrooms, I make a beeline for it. Once inside, I finally let out a slow breath as my gaze sweeps over the wood paneling on the walls and complimentary toiletries on the countertop. A restroom attendant nods politely as I pass by her. I stumble into a stall and latch the door behind me, taking deep, sobering breaths. I haven't had a sip of alcohol tonight, but it feels like my head is swimming. My phone buzzes in my clutch and I pull it out, my throat constricting at the sight of Alex's name.
You okay?
I feel like I could cry. I love this man so much, it's killing me. Why did I think getting close to him was a good idea? I'm such a fool. A light knock rattles my stall door. Aspen? I blink, recognizing the voice as Eden's, and crack open the door. Hey, what's up? Can we talk? She asks, her voice uncharacteristically soft. I nod once. I'm sure my feelings for Alex are written all over my face. Eden's so intuitive, she must know. Dutifully, I follow her out of the restroom and to the exit. We step outside into the crisp autumn air and turn around to watch the party from a distance. What's going on? I ask her, my deepest fears mounting with every passing second. Did Alex tell her about us? Did she find out some other way? Am I about to be fired? God, I hope not. I just signed a new lease. She takes a deep breath before she begins. I owe you an apology. I know that I can talk a lot of shit. I know that I blur the lines between our friendship and working relationship every day. I also know that isn't fair to you, although I think I only really understood that recently. I stare at her, my mouth twisting into a frown. What is she talking about? She meets my confused expression with a defeated sigh. All I'm saying is that I may have been wrong about Alex. Oh. I'm sorry if I led you to believe that he was disloyal or unfaithful. It was nothing like that. Alex never cheated on me or gave me any reason to think that he would. We were just two people who weren't built for the long haul. We broke up because we wanted different things. I spent years of my life supporting him, following him wherever the game took him, cheering for him from the sidelines. Over time, I fell out of love with him, but not because of anything he did wrong. I just eventually realized that I was loving him in the way I wanted to be loved. I wanted someone in my corner to support me and my life goals and career. By falling out of love with Alex, I fell in love with hockey, and I found my forever love with Holt. I listened to Eden's confession, hanging on every word. I can tell by the misty look in her eyes that none of this is easy for her to admit. Meanwhile, Alex had already accomplished most of his goals, so he was looking for someone to settle down with. He couldn't keep up, and I couldn't slow down. I resented him for it. I felt like he owed me a fraction of what I gave him. I still feel that to this day, but now I have Holt. Eden's eyes shine with unshed tears, and a contagious smile breaks out across her face. I don't realize I'm crying, too, until a fat tear rolls down my cheek. And if I hadn't ended things with Alex, I would have never given Holt a chance. It's the best decision I ever made. She sighs contentedly, spinning the engagement ring on her finger. Shaking herself out of her reverie, she laughs breathlessly and nudges me with her shoulder. All that to say, Alex wasn't right for me. But that doesn't mean he's wrong for you. She does know. Maybe she has all along since that first video conference I had with her in Canada when she spotted him in the background of the screen. I take a shuddering breath, releasing it with a heavy sigh of relief. With only a few words, Eden has lifted the weight I've been carrying around for weeks. "Why did you decide to tell me all of this?" I ask, searching her expression for answers. She giggles a little, almost embarrassed. "Alex actually came to see us, to talk about you, and he called me out for all the ideas I put in your head about him."
"He did?"
My voice catches in my throat. "Yeah. And based on the way that he's looking at you tonight, he's a man who's hurting." She nods toward the building, which is all lit up and filled with happy partygoers. My heart squeezes with nerves.
"Do you think I should go talk to him?"
"Only if you want to." Eden leans over and kisses me on the cheek. Do I want to talk to him? The realization crumbles inside me like a warm cookie straight from the oven. Of course I do. I've never wanted anything more in my life. "Okay, let's go." I link my arm through hers and we make our way back inside.
Chapter 28. Alex. I tug at the collar on my shirt again. I hate wearing a tuxedo, even if it's for a good cause. Tonight's the charity gala for the Children's Haven Project the team supports. It's an event I've looked forward to in the past. The chance to stuff myself from the buffet and drink free booze. The chance to hang out with the team away from the ice. But tonight, I'm all kinds of on edge. Having Saint with me helps, I guess. He decided not to bring a date and offered to give me a ride. "You okay, buddy?" he asks from beside me. I straighten my tie and nod distractedly. "Sure." The ballroom is buzzing with excitement, and there's a long line at the bar, which I eye with disdain. Saint brings one arm around my shoulders and leans in. "Okay, so let's talk game plan strategy. Here's what we're going to do." "We?" I stiffen. Saint chuckles, and the sound vibrates between us. "Yes, we. I'm helping you." I step back to meet his eyes with a look of confusion. After all, he's the one who warned me not to fall for her. But why? He gives me a kind look. "Because you love her." I make an exasperated noise. His words are true, and I'm tired of denying it. "Okay, fine. What's the plan?" His mouth breaks into a happy grin. First, we have to locate her. Are you sure she's going to be here? She'll be here. I'm not sure why I'm so confident, because she could have changed her mind about coming tonight. Somehow, though, I can sense that she's here, somewhere in the crowd of people. Saint nods. Okay, while we locate her, do you want to get a drink? Some liquid courage? No, I'm good. I'd rather have a clear head, and I don't want to waste time standing in line at the bar. Saint nods. Okay, we're going to figure this out. Let's head in. The crowd parts as we make our way into the ballroom. A glittering chandelier hangs overhead, painting everything in gold hues. The setting would be romantic in any other circumstance, but I'm not optimistic enough for all that right now. When we move past the banquet tables displaying items up for auction, something makes me turn. And then I see her. Aspen. She's wearing a pale pink gown with lace sleeves. It's so Aspen. Feminine, simple, and fun. My chest aches at the sight of her. I elbow Saint's side. There she is. I'll see you later. His hand grips my shoulder, and he pulls me back a step. Hey, hold up. What's your plan? I'm going to talk to her. He frowns. That won't work. What else you got? Ask her to get a drink? Negative, cowboy. No one wants to wait in that line. Go ask her to dance. She's practically standing on the dance floor, and she's polite, so she won't be able to say no. That might actually work. Good plan. He grins. I know. Go get her, Tiger. It's only when I approach Aspen that I realize she's standing with Holt and Eden at the edge of the dance floor. Good evening, I say, tipping my chin at them. Hey, Alex, Eden says, smiling at me, and Holt shakes my hand. Aspen looks nervous, but so fucking gorgeous that I almost forget how to breathe. Aspen, you look absolutely breathtaking. She dips her chin, then lifts her eyes to mine.
Thank you.
Care to dance? She hesitates for half a second before Eden gives her a little shove toward me.
You should. People never dance at these things.
Okay,
Aspen says, meeting my eyes again. I offer her my hand and lead her to the center of the dance floor. The band is playing some slow tempo thing that's perfect, because with all the confusing thoughts and emotions swirling through my head, I doubt I'll be able to do a little more than shuffle my feet. The familiarity of her in my arms is disorienting. I've dreamed about her and imagined this 100 times. But now that she's standing here, her palm on my bicep, my hand at her waist, her lovely scent intoxicating me, I'm careful to keep a respectful distance between us before I completely lose my head. I'm just going to say something here, I say, my voice a little uncertain. I had an amazing time with you this summer, and this past month has been really hard. Aspen's gaze lifts to mine.
I guess I shouldn't have just left like that. I had an amazing time, too. I probably owed you a goodbye.
Nerves suddenly kick in, and I swallow. Yeah, maybe. But here's the thing. I've been trying to respect the idea that you wanted a rebound fling, but I don't want to let you just walk away. She stiffens in my arms.
Are you saying you didn't want things to end?
I should have told you how I felt about you this summer. I messed everything up, letting you just walk away. Will you let me fix this?
How?
I take a deep breath. I don't know, but I want to be with you. Will you let me try? She meets my eyes with a cautious expression.
It's not going to be like it was this summer, you know. We were isolated from everything and everyone. We got to just exist in this perfect bubble where reality didn't seem to exist. Real life is hard.
I nod and touch her cheek with my thumb. I know. I know it's not going to be easy all the time. I know that I travel a lot during the season, and that's not really fair to you. But I want you in my life. I need you in my life. Her eyes glisten with unshed tears, but she doesn't say anything. Will you say something? Tell me what you're thinking. Aspen lifts on her toes and presses her sweet mouth to mine.
The kiss almost knocks me off my feet. It was the last thing I expected. Yes, she murmurs when she pulls back. She wipes her lipstick from my upper lip. I laugh and pull her into my arms. Yes? Yes, I'll be with you. Thank fucking God. Emotion rocks through me. It's the best fucking news in the world. When her lips touch mine again, I abandon the idea of dancing altogether. Before I realize what's happening, I'm leading her someplace far, far away from all the people and the crowds. Someplace private where I can kiss her properly like I've ached to do for so many weeks. With my hands full of Aspen, I duck around a corner, pleased when I see a sign for a door that reads Hospitality Suite. I'm just about to let us inside when a hand on my shoulder stops me. It's Tate, the rookie, and he's wearing a knowing smile.
Where are you two sneaking off to?
Just cover for us, okay? I give him a pointed look. Tate's mouth lifts in a grin, and he rubs one hand over the stubble on his jaw. I've always liked the guy, but if he gives me a hard time about this...
Wait.
Aspen's eyes widen. This hallway is deserted, but the sound of the band and low voices from beyond remind us that we are far from alone. But when I run my hand from her upper arm and into her hair, turning her face to mine for another kiss, her protests turn to soft whimpers.
Just for a minute. I need to kiss you.
She nods, her hazy eyes locked on mine.
Tate, guard the door. I bite out and then lead Aspen inside.
The room is dark, but I find the light switch. It's set up like a hotel suite, with a small kitchenette and dining table that we bypass on our way to the sofa. But we only make it halfway there, because I press her up against the back of the couch and take her mouth again. She tastes like champagne. My heart is so full of happiness I might burst.
Baby, I'm sorry for everything. I hated losing you. I hated how I treated you this summer.
I murmur, my lips on her throat. After that first night when I told you it was a mistake, I was wrong.
I'm sorry I left,
she breathes out. Aspen's hands are all over me, and when she palms the front of my dress pants, I bite out a groan. I cup her face in my hands and bring her eyes to mine.
Should we go slow? I don't want to rush you.
Her mouth twitches with a smile.
There's no such thing as slow with you.
She's right. Everything is 0 to 100 with us. I'm convinced this woman was made just for me, and when she falls to her knees at my feet and begins working open the front of my pants, I know she is. The first wet stroke of her tongue against me makes my chest hitch. I love that she loses all control around me, just like I do with her. I touch her hair and tell her how good this feels. From her jeweled clutch on the floor, I hear a sound. With pleasure shooting through my veins, it takes me a second to realize Aspen's phone is ringing. At first, she ignores it, continuing to suck and lick and nibble at my rigid flesh. I clench my hands into fists at my sides and let out a groan. But then Aspen pulls back and rummages through her purse until she can bring the phone to her ear.
Hello?
She's breathless, and her cheeks are flushed. I gaze down at her, my dick hanging out of my pants, wanting to strangle whoever it is that interrupted us.
It's Eden,
she whispers, looking up at me from the floor.
Yes,
she says, running her finger along my length teasingly. I can't resist touching her cheek and guiding myself back into her mouth. She sucks on me, one long, deep suck that makes my toes curl before pulling back. She gives me a stern look and whispers,
You're going to get me fired.
I take the phone from her hand and press the speakerphone button, because if there was ever a time to use the hands-free feature, it's now. Aspen licks my cock and all the breath leaves my lungs at once. Eden is saying something, but all my focus is on Aspen and her hot mouth.
I was just worried about you,
Eden says.
You disappeared. Did Alex talk to you?
Aspen releases me with a faint sound, her hand still stroking.
Yes, we're together right now.
Oh,
Eden says, sounding a little stilted.
I'm interrupting, aren't I?
In a manner of speaking.
Aspen says.
Okay, gross. Hanging up now.
I press a button to end the call and toss the phone onto the couch as Aspen looks up at me, a laugh on her lips.
Did that just happen?
I chuckle too. Yeah. We're still laughing when Tate knocks on the door. You guys okay in there? I sigh, realizing it's time to admit defeat. I help Aspen to her feet and unceremoniously tuck myself back into my pants. We should probably go. Can we ditch the gala? Will you come home with me? She nods, smiling.
Lead the way.
Aspen's never been to my place, and so I really can't fault her for wanting the full tour. Even if my body is unhappy about being abandoned in the middle of a blowjob, I show her around, hurrying her through the home gym, kitchen, living room.
You have a pool?
She asks excitedly, leaning close to the window so she can see outside in the darkness. Yep, I've only been in it once, though.
We are totally having a pool party here this summer.
Yeah? You want to stay here instead of Canada? She turns to look at me.
That was pretty perfect, wasn't it?
It was special. But I think we can make our own special traditions here, too. It's then that I know I want Aspen to move in with me. But since I'm smart enough not to get into what could turn into a lengthy discussion, I take her hand and tug her toward the stairs. We'll talk about that later. Last stop on the tour, I joke when we enter my bedroom.
This is amazing,
she says, scanning the room. Can you stay all weekend? I pull her into my arms and wrap her in a hug. I don't have a game until Tuesday night.
I might be able to do that,
she says playfully. We have some lost time to make up for. Between soft, sweet kisses, I help Aspen out of her dress. She tugs at my jacket, and I remove it. And as she undoes each of the buttons on my shirt, I walk us backward toward the bed. Once she's naked and in my arms, I have to remind myself to slow down, that we have all night, and that I want this to be perfect for her. But then I hear a soft chuckle, and I meet Aspen's gaze. She touches my tattoo.
Is this new?
I guess it's time to come clean. So I might have lost a bet? Aspen laughs.
Oh?
Yeah, Saint bet me that I couldn't go the summer without falling in love with you. She raises one eyebrow. And when I got home, I told him we'd better go get that tattoo. She touches my cheek, her eyes filled with emotion. Aspen, what I'm saying is that I fell in love with you in Canada. I love you.
I love you too,
she says softly. It feels good to say the words, to finally admit to Aspen how I really feel, and it feels even better to show her. And that's exactly what I spend the next hour doing. Long and hard and deeply, until she's flushed and panting out my name. Then I fold her into my arms and hold her close all night long.
Epilogue. Aspen. Can I help? I sidle up to the kitchen island, leaning over the polished wood to showcase my cleavage in the long-sleeved romper I'm wearing. Alex looks up from where he's chopping vegetables, his gaze pinging between my face and my breasts. Eyes up here, Bron, I wink, walking my fingers toward him, and he playfully swats them away.
No stray fingers near the sharp knife,
he says with a smirk.
I've got this.
I pout, looking back into the living room where our friends have all gathered. Logan Tate walks around the room, passing out beers. Lucian and Camille are comfortable in the window seat, chatting with Coach Wilder about their plans to have another kid. Reeves and Saint are arguing about something ridiculous, based on the way Saint is gesticulating and Reeves is shaking his head in pure dismay. Even Eden and Holt are here, exchanging soft whispers by the staircase. Newlyweds are like that. It's been a little over a year since Alex and I officially got together. For our one-year anniversary, he surprised me with the keys to a small cabin in Ottawa, just north of Saint's cabin, Once we got it decorated the way we liked it, the first order of business was to hold a housewarming party. But when word got around, the housewarming party became a housewarming weekend. So now our little cabin is brimming with company, most of whom are burly Boston Titans. Thank God Saint offered to take a few folks to his place at the end of the night, I say under my breath, shooting Alex a look. He knows how much of an introvert I am, and he's already apologized tenfold for how far the guest list got away from him. Are you sure I can't?
Why don't you go chat with Camille? You were saying that you wanted to get to know her better, weren't you?
I narrow my eyes at Alex. Something's fishy. He's been busy entertaining guests the whole day, so we've hardly had any time to talk one-on-one. I guess I won't distract him from making his dinner magic. All right, fine. I spend the next hour trying to socialize with the group, but it's hard to keep up with the conversations ping-ponging around me from all sides. When Alex rings the dinner bell, I'm more than relieved for the change of scenery. We all crowd around the folding tables in the dining room, complimenting Alex on the spread of roasted chicken, casseroles, vegetable medleys, and heaps upon heaps of mashed potatoes. It's a tight squeeze, but we all manage to fit with minimal elbowing. Thanks for bringing an extra table and chairs, I say to Saint, who settles in across from me, instantly reaching for a juicy chicken leg.
Mi casa es su casa, Scaredy Sprout.
He grins at me, and though I haven't heard that nickname in ages, I still roll my eyes. Dinner is delicious, and everyone is singing Alex's praises by the end of it. I don't think I've ever seen the man flustered, but for a guy who spent an entire season being the villain in everyone else's story, I think he's handling the compliments well. I catch him staring at me during dessert, but when I smile back, he quickly averts his eyes and resumes his conversation with Coach Wilder. Weird. Later, when we're all done eating, I offer to help Alex clear the table and load the dishwasher. He outright refuses my help, gently guiding me back into the living room where the group has gathered for a nightcap. If Alex wants his space, he can have it. But this doesn't feel like just a space thing. This feels like something else, and a small knot of worry forms inside my stomach. When I catch Alex dodging me through another doorway, I've finally had enough. I snag his wrist with a firm grip and pull him out onto the deck where no one can see us. The night breeze ruffles our hair, and I'd comment on how fragrant the fall air is if I weren't dead set on getting Alex to spill whatever's going on with him. Are you avoiding me?
No, I'm...
Seems like you're avoiding me. What are you hiding? Alex chuckles, swearing under his breath.
You really see right through me, don't you?
I nod, giving him a look that says, duh.
Okay.
He lifts his hands in surrender.
I have shitty self-control, right? You know this. I'm losing my mind. Fuck, how do I...
I wait patiently with my arms crossed over my chest while he recalibrates. It takes him a second to get over whatever inner battle he's having with himself, locking his blue eyes on mine.
Now's as good a time as any. I was planning on doing this tomorrow when everyone left so we'd have more privacy, but...
From his back pocket, Alex pulls out a small black velvet box. Then he sinks to one knee, the stars behind him hanging like a heavenly tapestry.
Aspen Ford, you have completely turned my life around. Not by trying to change me, just by being your gorgeous self. I think back on the man I was before I met you, and I feel bad for him, because he didn't know what happiness was yet.
His voice catches with emotion.
And now I'm greedy, and I want you in my life for good. I want you to be my wife. I want you to be mine forever. Will you marry me?
At first, I stare at him, a small smile on my lips, waiting for the punchline. When it doesn't come, the proposal hanging between us finally hits me. Gripping the front of his sweater, I pull Alex up for a molten kiss. His body presses against mine, his arms wrapping around my waist as he stands, lifting me into the air. I cling to his shoulders, kissing him with all the pent-up emotion I've been carrying around with me this entire day. His hot tongue breaches my lips, meeting mine in a delicious press of wet warmth. All I can think about is how I could have this man, this incredible man, and his fiery kisses for the rest of my life.
When we part, I take a gasping breath. His voice is hoarse when he asks,
So I'll take that as a yes?
I laugh through the tears. Yes. He catches my lips again, swallowing my whimper of pure excitement. Because Alex Braun wants me to be his wife. When he lowers my feet back to the deck, our mouths are still melded together in a hopeless tangle. His kisses turn soft and gentle as his thumbs wipe the tears from my cheeks. Why did you want to wait until tomorrow?
Well, assuming you would say yes, I thought you might like some alone time.
He growls, nipping my lower lip with his teeth.
I know I do.
I sigh a little helplessly. How about we sneak off to the lake later when they all go to sleep? I can wear that swimsuit you like. He hums his approval.
I like the way you think.
Alex gives me one last lingering kiss before we head back inside. We settle onto the couch together, rejoining the group. Coach Wilder's getting a fire going in the hearth. Saint is in the middle of a story about his latest misadventures in Italy. Alex and I exchange a secretive look. We can wait to tell our friends about the engagement. There will be plenty of time tomorrow over breakfast. Until then, it'll be our little secret. This has been The Rival, Looking to Score Book 2, written by Kendall Ryan, narrated by Jacob Morgan and Vanessa Edwin. Copyright 2021 by Kendall Ryan. Production copyright 2021 by Kendall Ryan. Production coordination by Lyric Audiobooks. Producer, Katie Robinson. Post-production by Anansi Audio. Jacob Morgan and Vanessa Edwin are members of SAG-AFTRA. To keep up with new releases, visit KendallRyanBooks.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.